Hello, welcome back to the Play Movies, Watch Games Pitchcast. If you don't know what this is the show where each fortnight we try our very best to come up with a perfect pitch for either a movie as a video game or a video game as a movie. This week's pitch is the perfect Pokemon movie. Obviously, there's been some before, so we'll have a little chat about them, but we're going to try and pitch our own perfect version. But for now, I'm your host, Lewis. I'm joined by my co-host, Ben. How are we doing, Ben?
Hello there. I'm very well.
Hello there. Back with the hello there. Missed that last week.
Well, I was feeling fast and furious last
week. Oh, yeah, of course. Are you feeling, Pikachu today? I can't think of anything.
Sure, in Jiggly and Puff.
Jiggly and Puff. Oh, dearie dear. But yeah, Ben, I feel like this past couple of weeks, a lot's happened. Well, I've done a lot. I've watched a lot. I've played a lot. So what have you been up to, Ben? Let's have a catch up.
So I watched a fantastic film that I'd never seen before, never really heard of before either.
Right.
Called Falling Down.
Nope, not heard of it.
It has Michael Douglas.
Mm.
And it's basically...
Is this the one where he robbed a fast food restaurant or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen so many clips of it, and I've always gone, I want to watch that, because he looks like, you know, the whole film is sort of, looks from the clips, is centred around him.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I think he's a great actor, so I've wanted to watch it. But yeah, talk about it, Ben, talk about it.
So it's basically, the film opens, and he's in his car, he's in a traffic jam. Because there's like roadworks and stuff, and there's just all these little things going on. And I think the opening scene is fantastic in the way that it just does little things like people having an argument, people talking loudly and stuff, and he just gets really annoyed. But you can see that he's getting annoyed just through like the pacing and the cinematography and everything. Mm. So basically he gets out his car and just leaves and walks off. And spends the rest of his day just walking home. And that's all the film is. It's just him on his walk home. But during his walk home, things will happen. So, like, he's met with these two, like, gang members. And they start, like, having a fight and stuff. And then after that, he gets a knife. And then he'll go on to another thing. And he'll get a bigger weapon until, you know, it escalates.
All right. Any time I've seen a clip of it, you know, you get all these things on Facebook now that, you know, they sort of share scenes from these sort of not necessarily unheard of movies, but, you know, not as popular movies. And anytime I've seen a scene from that film, it's always like intrigued me. I've just never known what it's called. I'll have to look at it. And you recommend it, yeah?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Oh, is it? All right, nice one. The other one that I always see on Facebook is the Bill Murray dressed as a clown robbing a bank. That movie. It's like a TV movie from the, I think it's from like the early 90s or it might be late 80s. And I always see that popping up on Facebook. I must have to watch that at some point as well. But Falling Down. And Michael Douglas, I'm guessing, is good in it because he's a good actor, isn't he?
Yeah, he's very good. Yes.
Yeah. How old is he in it? Roughly.
It came out in 93.
Yeah.
So probably like 30, I don't know.
No, because he's like 70 now, isn't he?
No idea.
He's an Ant-Man, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he's in his 70s. I'm sure he is. But anytime I've seen a clip from that film, he looks really young. So I don't know. No idea. Because his dad, Kirk Douglas, died, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, and he was like 104 or something stupid like that. And I'm sure Michael's like 70 or in his 80s even. I don't know. No idea. He seems to have like aged well, but now he's got grey hair. I don't know. Ben, anything else you want to talk about before we get into some of the stuff we've both seen this previous 2 weeks?
I started watching America the Motion Picture.
Never heard of it.
It's by Into the Spider-Verse people. It's on Netflix.
What, Phil Lord and Chris Miller?
Yeah, it's like a weird, like, spoof film about, like, the founding fathers of America.
Oh, yeah.
It's all right. It's very, like, the bloody, the film with the puppets. I can't think of what it's called.
Muppets.
No, the one with the all the strings.
Team America.
That's it.
Yeah,
It's like weird comedy thing. Yeah, I started watching it. It was fine.
I like Phil Lord and Chris Miller, so I'll see if I can check that out. Talking about puppets, well, it's not really puppets, but I finished watching. Well, I think it's the end of the season now. MODOK on Disney Plus. I'm pretty sure it's the end. Can't really remember. Ben, have you had a chance to watch any of this?
Well, no, because I haven't heard very good things about it, I haven't really bothered.
It isn't a binge-worthy show. I couldn't sit there and binge it, but, you know, if you sit down and have dinner, you want to chuck something on for 20 minutes, it's quite good. And, I enjoy it. It's not got loads of villains and stuff from the Marvel Universe. It does sort of centre just solely around MODOK. Patton Oswalt is good as MODOK. I think that he's definitely a standout voice in it. And there's a couple of standout voices as well. I can't remember the name of the actor. But he was in Detroiters and I Think You Should Leave. He's Tim Robinson's mate. I can't remember the name of him now, but he's in it as well, and he's really stand out. It's like, I would say, it's sort of like a cut above something like a Family Guy, but not as good as like a Rick and Morty, you know? So, right. It's sort of just turn your brain off, and it's very sort of low scale comedy, you know, it's not really end of the world, and when they do go to all these different places, not a lot really happens. If you've ever watched Harley Quinn, that is amazing. This sort of tries to be a little bit like that, but it's not as good. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It took me a while to sort of get round and finish it, but quite glad I did. It's a nice little family story. The son in the family, he's really, really funny. I quite enjoy him on screen. There's a robot that can turn into anything that they just disregard all the time. And he's like always willing to get involved in like these schemes. And he's like, what do you want me to do? What's my point in the operation? And MODOK says, you've got the most important part. And then you see him getting all giddy and he's like, oh! Turns out it just turns into a ladder so we can get up on the bookshelf. So, you know, that sort of comedy. It's very Robot Chicken-esque, and I think it's made by the same sort of guys that did Robot Chicken, you know, it's stop motion and stuff. But I quite enjoyed it. I know it is, you know, it's not like watch it as soon as possible, but, you know, if you just want to turn your brain off and watch something comedy, it's quite good for that. So I enjoyed that. Anything else you've watched or played recently, Ben? Because I've got a couple of things I've played.
I watched the Angry Birds movie 2.
I can't remember the second one. I remember really enjoying the first one, but I can't remember this. I know I've seen it.
Yeah, it's the one with like the Eagle Island.
Is that the second
one? Third island. Yeah, it's the second one.
The big eagle that comes out and has a wee in the lake they were just swimming in. Is that it?
It's the one where they go to like the third island and the pigs and the birds team up together.
Oh, yeah, no, I can't remember that. No. I think I'm thinking of the first one where they like the pigs are attacking and they try and find, you know, this eagle that's meant to help them out, you know, and they get up. And there's a great big lake and they're all swimming in it and they're spitting water at each other and they're playing in it. And then the eagle comes out and he just urinates into the lake. And he does that every morning. So they were just swimming in that. And I quite enjoyed the Angry Birds movie. I think it's a cut above a lot of DreamWorks stuff. Stuff that's being pumped out. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's got a really good cast as well.
Yeah. I can't remember who's the main guy now.
Jason Sudeikis.
Right, yeah, I love him. That's probably why I like it so much. What do you think? Would you say the second one's better than the first one? Or have you not seen the first one?
I can't really remember the first one, to be honest. I have seen it, but Yeah, it was all right.
I think a lot of people say that the second one's better. I think critics said that anyway, but yeah. I don't know. Right, I have played, Ben, I finished Ghost of Tsushima. I've played the campaign of Battlefield Hardline. I replayed Titanfall 2. So I've been playing a lot of games. I've just felt like... So I finished Ghost of Tsushima. And it took me about 45 hours. So I was like, I'm done with big games for a while. So I'm like, give me little short games for a little bit. So Ghost of Tsushima, what do I think of it? Really good storytelling. Fantastic storytelling in a video game. Really good setting, you know. Playing a samurai in Japan. Spoke about it a little bit on the last podcast. I finished it like the next day. But Ben, this game would be an amazing Star Wars game. And the reason why is towards the end of the game, you're hacking down dudes in one hit, you know, and I'm like, this is perfect Star Wars. But they can also get you, you know, in one, two hits. They can, if you're not careful. And it's all about your stance. You've got four stances. You're going against shields. You're going against people with spears. And you're going against brutes as well as just normal swordsmen. So, like, it sort of reminded me a little bit of, you know, like Jedi Knight. You know, how you had the three stances there. You had light, heavy, medium. Not only that, but you deflect arrows with your sword. I'm like, this is a Star Wars game. This is a Star Wars game set in Japan. You know, it's... I want it to come to PC and I want someone to mod it so that you're just a general Jedi and you're going up against the Sith, like, I don't know, in the Old Republic or something when there's loads of them. Or you know, a bit like in Jedi Fallen Order where you've got the Inquisitors and stuff like that. Make that game happen, because the combat is so good. I think the combat is the thing that kept me coming back. You know, you could be surrounded by a crowd of dudes, and you could just get absolutely mullered, or, you know, if you play the game well, you could pull off a great combo, and, you know, kill them all in one go. You know, they all come to you, you just stand, they come in a circle, you get knock them all down, boom, done. Or you can, you know, sneak around and stuff. Ben, what do you think? Do you think this would be a good Star Wars game?
Yeah, something that just, you know, makes good of the lightsaber. So that it's not a glow stick.
Yeah, yeah. And this, you know, I was like I said, the thing is, you can hack dudes down in one or two hits. Add a little, sprinkle a little bit of dismemberment in there as well. Whew! It'd be an absolute blast of a game. I'd love it to be a Star Wars game. Talking about Star Wars, Ben, I just remembered this. Did you see that Zack Snyder's next film is basically a Star Wars ripoff?
I saw something about, yeah, Zack Snyder and Star Wars.
He said that it's the Seven Samurai mixed with Star Wars or something like that. I think it's called Rebel Moon or something. And it's coming straight to Netflix. So I suppose we'll just see what it's like when it comes out. But I think he said straight up in an interview, he said, I've just wanted to do something Star Wars-esque, you know, so this is that. So he's making it. So I'm excited to see what it is. And do you think they'll go the route of... Because it's something like they said that they couldn't use the Empire... As an enemy, you know, because of Star Wars, so they've called it something else. Do you think they're going to go the way of each of the seven samurai has got a different type of force power or different some sort of alien technology that basically makes them a Jedi? What do you reckon, Ben?
Yeah, it would make sense. Like, yeah, one of them's a water man. Yeah, one of them's a fire man. Yeah,
like, you know, sort of Avatar: The Last Airbender mixed with Star Wars. You know, something like that. That would be cool. Do you think they'll bring in lightsabers or call them laser swords or something?
Glow sticks.
Yeah. Glow sticks, yeah. Yeah, these are radioactive glow sticks. I'm excited. For, you know, Army of the Dead, it was all right. It weren't amazing. But he knows how to do an action sequence. Snyder does. You can't deny that. He knows how to make a shot look really good, how to, you know, set the scene up, make it look like just awe moments. You know, you're in awe because of what you're seeing. And Snyder's really good at that. So do that in space. I'm into it. I like to see what it is. Talking about Star Wars, Ben, have you caught up on the Bad Batch?
Yeah.
Yeah? What do you think about the most recent episode where they go to Ryloth?
I really liked the opening scene. That really stuck out to me, where it's like, you know, he's doing the big speech to everyone.
Yeah.
And then he sort of like betrays them and everything.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good, like how it was done. And then I also think that the clones were used well in this as well.
They've got a bit of personality back to them as well. You know, the standard clones. That's what I quite enjoyed. I liked seeing Hera. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Rebels. But I couldn't remember in Rebels whether she says that her parents have died or that she does see him again. I couldn't remember. But I just, you know, I'm happy to see Hera again. And also she was in Squadrons, so I'm hoping they sort of utilize her a little bit more. Maybe bring her into like possibly the Book of Boba Fett or Mandalorian or something, because I think, yeah, she does survive the war. Yeah, she does survive the war. At the end of Rebels, you see her with a child, and you see Sabine Wren, who's going on the search for Ezra Miller. So I think they might, you know what, if they do anything with her, it'll be in the Ahsoka series, I reckon. What do you reckon?
Ezra Miller.
Oh, Ezra Bridger. Sorry. yuck. Could you imagine that? Just turns up, you know. Anyway.
I think if anything, she'll show up in Ahsoka.
Yeah, I agree. I forgot about they were making that series. But yeah, exciting. Or if they still do
the Rangers of the New Republic.
That's it. Maybe she'll be in that. Maybe she'll be the lead instead of Big Fies. I can't remember her name. So anyway, back to video games. I played Battlefield Hardline just because I've always fancied it. Have you ever played this, Ben?
I played, like, when it was in the beta, I think.
Now, I think the online to it, the online mode is Cops versus Robbers. It's quite good. Quite enjoyed it. I played quite a bit of it recently. And it's still got a few players on it as well, so you can still get a game quite easily if you're playing the main Cops versus Robbers mode. All like team deathmatch and that, there's just no one playing that at the moment, so everyone's probably on Battlefield 4 or 3 or the newer ones for that. But the main Cops versus Robbers mode is quite good. The story, the campaign is just slow as anything. So it's basically like, it's like a 10 episode Netflix series, like is the setup of it. You know, it's a crime drama. You play as a cop, you get betrayed, you get chucked in prison, you come out of prison, you turn over who betrayed you, blah 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 blah. Now on the back of the case, Ben, it says Battlefield Hardline, the fastest Battlefield to date. It says on the back of the case, right? Most of the campaign is stealth missions. I'm like, this isn't the fastest Battlefield then, is it? Basically, what you have to do is you have to stealth around the missions, you know, go up to enemies, flash your badge, tell them to freeze and arrest them. Or you can go in guns blazing, but you don't get any experience points for it because you have to level up in this game to unlock weapons. And then it's obviously a bit harder, right? So it's not the fastest Battlefield game to date at all, especially campaign-wise. But I still quite enjoyed it. It's a bit of a crime drama, you know. I don't know if it gets me excited for the new Battlefield or not, though, because the new Battlefield is multiplayer only, and I quite enjoy a campaign. What's your opinion on that, Ben?
Yeah, there should be at least an option for single player.
Like a 4-hour story or something, you know. Yeah. Not like, you know, 10, 12 hours, which is quite quite hefty campaign. I think even the Call of Duties, they're only about 5 hours now, something like that. They're not long. And I don't know how much effort goes into making them, to be honest. I don't know if they can be done quite quickly or if it does take, you know, the full development time. Obviously, with Battlefield 1 and Battlefield 5, you had, like, the story, you know, the five different stories set around in that. I tried playing Battlefield 5, but it was just boring. Again, stealth. Why are we putting stealth into World War 2? Like, if I wanted stealth in World War 2, I'd play Sniper Elite, you know? I didn't. That's what I've come to Battlefield for. But anyway, getting sidetracked. Let's talk about Titanfall 2, this game. I've fallen back in love, Ben. It's amazing. It's amazing. Did you know there was a Titanfall 2 Horde mode? Because I didn't. They must have updated it after I stopped playing it years ago. But yeah, I'm back in love with it. I'm back playing it again. I played this campaign again. It's just a good game. It's a good game, isn't it, Ben?
It is, yeah.
It's an amazing game. And I'm like, you know, I've been playing a bit of Apex. I don't do very well on Apex. Played a bit today, actually. Got 2 kills, but that's not enough to win. But I was like, it just makes me want to play Titanfall. So I'm back playing Titanfall again. The Horde mode's really weird, right? Because it'd be like there's 4 players and you've got to defend a beacon or something. And, you know, it starts off the first wave is just, you know, troops on the ground and a Titan. And then you all unlock your Titan for the second round. And then there's a couple more Titans and stuff. The last round is 30 enemy Titans. Like, it's insane. And most of them are nuke Titans. So they literally just walk up to the beacon and then nuke themselves. It's ridiculously hard. But it's good fun. It's really good fun. It's just the hard, like the later waves is just literally there's nothing you can do. At least with Gears of War, like, you can do stuff to prepare. With Titanfall, there are little bits you can buy, but you never earn enough to buy, like, loads of traps to put down, especially when you've got 30 Titans coming at you. It's crazy. But it's good fun. It's good fun, Ben. Any opinions on Titanfall 2 before we move on?
Yeah, I like it. That's a game where I played, like, the single player, and then I didn't really play much of the multiplayer, but the single player in it is good, which, you know,
as
I was saying a minute ago, you need something like that available in all games.
It's one of the best first-person, you know, campaign modes in a long time. Like, games like Doom and Wolfenstein that are centered around the first person single player modes, I don't class them as in the same boat with like a Call of Duty or a Halo, because Halo, you know, you come to Halo for the campaign and the multiplayer. You don't go to Doom for the campaign and the multiplayer. There are both options there for you, but I go to Doom for the campaign. I go to Halo for both, and I go to Call of Duty for the multiplayer usually, right? But I quite enjoy the single player campaigns. So I would say it's like an added campaign type. I don't know, but it's one of the best in this generation by far. So Halo was weak this generation. Call of Duty had some good campaigns at the end of the generation. Also, Infinite Warfare's got a really good campaign. No one talks about it because no one liked that game because it was sci-fi and Call of Duty fans are sick of sci-fi. Anyway, but Titanfall 2 is just one of the best campaigns I've ever played because every mission, it just mixes things up a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, you know? It just gives something different each time. And I was like, I was playing through the campaign, enjoying my time, obviously, put it on a harder difficulty this time. I've still got it, Ben. Still got it. Don't worry. And I was like, I want to know more about this universe, about this lore, right? And I remember that when Titanfall 1 came out, people were saying, you know, it's not got campaign, but it's got this online campaign mode where it's like 10 missions. And I thought, maybe there's a little bit in that, right? Because there's these characters that turn up in Titanfall 2, and it's like, the game acts as like they're big characters, but never heard of them. You know, if you're just playing Titanfall 2, you've never heard of them. So I thought, oh, I'll go back and I'll install Titanfall 1. and see what the campaign mode's like. At the time I played it, there was 20 players online playing campaign. 20 in the entire world. That's like, oh. So obviously, they're all amazing, and you can't do anything about it. You can't shoot anyone because they're all amazing. Yeah. So that's out the window for me. But I might just watch the. There's literally like an intro cutscene to each mission, and it's about a minute long. So I'm probably just gonna watch them on YouTube. But they are reoccurring characters, which is good. You know, not a lot of people play Titanfall 1, but it's good that they still brought them over to Titanfall 2. And then at the end of Titanfall 2. The guy puts down an Apex card onto you. He's like, you know, you're knocked down and stuff, and he gives you an Apex card because he's an Apex bounty hunter, predator, or something. So they are continuing the story through Apex Legends as well. So maybe I'll sort of look into the comic books they have on Apex Legends, don't they, just to try and flesh out this world a bit more. But, you know, I just like this world, and I really wish they do a Titanfall 3. I think a lot of people are hoping for it, but Respawn have sort of said, like, you know, we really like Apex. We're going to continue to support Apex. I don't think they'll make a Titanfall 3. They seem to be busy making Jedi Fallen Order 2, you know, whatever that turns out to be. What do you think, Ben? What would you rather, a new Star Wars game from them or Titanfall 3?
Star Wars.
Yeah. You know what? And also, playing Titanfall 2 again, I was like, cool, they know how to do wall running and jumping, didn't they? You know, same with Fallen Order. Well, Fallen Order, I think, is rubbish at the start of it. But at the end of the game, when you can do your double jump, I quite enjoy the wall running and jumping and stuff. The start of the game, I didn't really like it. But you know, that's because you need to progress and unlock abilities in your character and stuff. And it's good game design, right? But yeah, I might go back and play Jedi Fallen Order now. I don't know. What do you reckon? Do you recommend it?
What, playing it again?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Up to you.
I might play on a harder difficulty. I don't know. Yeah. I'll think about it. Any games you've been playing, Ben? Apart from Overwatch?
Yeah, well, we played it, didn't we?
A little bit. My internet was really bad. My internet's better now. I've sorted my internet out. I've managed to plug my Xbox into the adapter.
Yeah.
So hopefully it should be a bit better now. Anything else you've been playing or not?
No.
Nah, fair enough. No. Just before we get into stuff that we've both watched, Ben, I watched a movie this week called The Tomorrow War. You seen it?
I haven't, because I've seen reviews that it's not very good.
Oh, it's all right. It's not amazing. It's very high budget film. It looks really nice, and you know, it's a good action movie. It just gets you straight into the action. You know, it's not overly complicated. It's just, we're sending you to the future to fight aliens. There you go. Get to the future, and then this is what you need to do. And it's got some good sequences. It's got a decent enough storyline. It looks really, really nice. I can't emphasize that enough. This is a very high budget movie that was obviously going to come out in cinemas, but Amazon Prime bought it because COVID. And like, it seems to have done well because they've announced a sequel. But the way it ends doesn't really set up a sequel. So I don't really know what they're going to do. But yeah, I would recommend it actually. I think it's just over 2 hours long, so it is quite a long film, and it does feel like quite long. It sort of ends after an hour and 40 minutes and then goes on for another half hour. But it's got really good cast, really, really good cast. You know that guy I was just talking about who's been in Detroiters and he's Tim Robinson's mate, and he was in MODOK. He's in it as well, and he's just brilliant. I really enjoy him. Chris Pratt's good. J.K. Simmons is in it. He's good. They're all good. I think it's just a good cast, good action, turn your brain off type movie. You know, it's not, you know, it's not going to blow you away, but at the end of the day, it's quite a entertaining film, you know, all right to sit there on a Friday night with a pizza with. So, yeah, I'd recommend it. Do you want to talk a little bit about what we've both watched this 2 weeks, past 2 weeks?
Yeah.
What do you want to start with? Loki?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I like it. I thought it was a good episode. I thought there was a lot of standouts. A
lot of Easter eggs.
Well, yeah. But loads of Easter eggs. Just Richard E. Grant, I thought it was good.
Oh, he's brilliant. Anything he's up in. Just
I like
him at the ending. I really, really enjoyed as well. His turn of character. You know, this coward that then turns hero. Quite enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I do wish they'd done a little bit more with it, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because he's, like, there for one episode. But I feel like the progression, as you're saying, is good because he's all, like, oh, glorious purpose, whatever. And then by the end, he's screaming glorious purpose and then laughing in the face of death.
Yeah.
I like how the kid just nonchalantly goes, yeah, I killed Thor.
Yeah, yeah.
The actor's not that great, but, you know, whatever.
No,
I like Alligator Loki.
Yeah.
I like Throg, who was voiced by Chris Hemsworth.
Was he actually?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. I think it's going to be Kang, who's the bad guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to do what they did with WandaVision and just be like, the name's Kang the Conqueror. Because I feel like that's what they're going to do. I want it to turn out to be another Loki that's a bad guy. What do you reckon?
What, Beyond the Void?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just... Or do you think Miss Minutes is the bad guy behind it all?
No.
No?
I think it's possible that whatever it is does like... some kind of projection and like fakes it being maybe a Loki or something else.
It's just now Marvel seem to do this where, you know, the villain always is you don't know who it is and then oh it was so and so, you know, like WandaVision done it, Black Widow done it, we'll talk about that in a second, but do you know what I mean, like where it always sets it up and has to have a twist to reveal who it is, right? That's where it's going in this. But I'm like, unless it's someone we've already seen in the series, who's it going to be? You know, will they bring in someone last minute? Like a new character for the last episode? What do you think?
It's strange, isn't it? Although, it could be Owen Wilson. I don't know.
that's another theory. Could be Owen Wilson.
I doubt it, though.
No, I don't think it is. I don't know. The thing I like about Loki is week to week, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, sort of Falcon and Winter Soldier, week to week, you can sort of guess what was going on. WandaVision was mental week to week. But Loki, it literally has this whole, you know, time... space world, it could go anywhere in any dimension, and that's what I quite like about Loki. I'm enjoying it. I do feel like it's a little bit slow, and the action's a bit pants, but I'm a bit sick of action in Marvel stuff at the moment. I'm excited, you know, as we record this. The last episode comes out tomorrow, so it'll be interesting to see what our thoughts on it are. I just don't know what direction they're going to go, and that could be a good thing, that could be a bad thing. I will say, though, the soundtrack in Loki is very, very good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very, very good. I really, really enjoy it. You know, the intro, amazing. The outro, amazing. The actual, like, synth wave backtrack to it and stuff. Really, really like that. Really, really like it. So, I every time I like enjoy an episode, but I'm just like, where's it going to go next? Where's it going to go next? You know, that's always what I'm thinking. But yeah, are you excited for tomorrow, Ben?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. So yeah.
No. I will say as well, Disney, do not hold back spoilers at all. Like, they just plaster all the multi-dimensional Lokis all over Facebook and stuff as well, like, after that reveal at the end of the fourth episode. So,
yeah,
you know, if you don't watch it day one, you got no hope, have you? So, But, yeah, I'm excited. Let's talk a little bit about Black Widow, Ben. What do you think of this movie?
It's fine.
It's good. I thought it was good. It's good. It's not, you know, it's not same tier as like Winter Soldier or Thor Ragnarok, but I thought it was better than like a Captain Marvel or I don't know, an Iron Man 2, you know?
As a film, it's good. Its major problem for me is that it adds nothing to the character of Black Widow.
No, it doesn't. And there's no stakes as well, would you say? Apart from maybe that there's a few stakes of, you know, who's going to survive for the new characters we've been introduced to. It doesn't give you any sort of sprinkle of hope that she's alive at the end of it or anything like that. We'll do spoilers. Spoiler alert. Let's talk about some things that I really enjoyed in Black Widow. I thought the action sequences were really, really good. I think this film is trying to be Captain America the Winter Soldier, but it's not as good, or it's set in Russia. And I think, and I don't know if you feel this way, Ben, but I think this is possibly the most brutal Marvel movie to date. Not in a way that people are dying and stuff, but the stuff you see. You know, the breaking of legs, the breaking of noses, the thumps as they hit the ground. As I was sitting there watching it, thinking, bloody hell, this is some brutal stuff. You know, and obviously in Endgame or Infinity War, a lot of people, you know, die at the end of it and stuff. But in a sense of action movie, you know, it's this very close combat, you know, fighting. I thought it was absolutely brutal. What's your take on that, Ben?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Something that stood out for me was when they go into like the underground station, and then Taskmaster throws the shield, and it's like really forceful.
Yeah. They really put an emphasis on the punches, didn't they, in this movie? Mm-hmm. That's what I took away from it. And really, really enjoyed that aspect of it. I really, really enjoyed Florence Pugh. I thought she sort of stole the show in this movie. What do you reckon?
Yeah, she usually does, though, in most films I've seen with her in.
I've not really seen her in anything.
Midsummer, Fighting With My Family.
No.
Lady Macbeth.
No.
The one with the other women actors. What's it called?
Yes, I've seen that one.
No. That one. I can't remember. What's it called? Little Women.
No, I've not seen it. Yeah. I thought she was brilliant.
She's always stand out.
She's so funny in it as well. Like, such a dry humour to her. I just thought she was amazing in this. Like, again, not really seen her in anything before. I thought she sort of stole the spotlight from ScarJo, to be honest. That's what I thought anyway. I quite like David Harbour as well. I like him. I think he's a good actor. I thought he was quite funny. Rachel Weisz was in this. I totally didn't recognize her. Mm-hmm. But the same thing I was saying to you about Loki, Ben, is it's always got to be a twist who the villain is, right? You know, you don't know who Taskmaster is. Ooh. So, you know, I was sitting there and I was watching it, and I turned to my wife and I said to her, it's the mum. It's the mum's Taskmaster. And then we meet her at the farm, and I went, oh no, it's the daughter. It's the daughter of Ray Winston. You know,
yeah.
It's quite easy to spot, isn't it, really? Did you predict it quite early on?
Yeah, but I don't think it's... Well, I don't know. I feel like, you know, Taskmaster, he's a pretty big character like in terms of I know who he is and everything.
In the,
and I
yeah.
think that yeah, possibly could have been a longer running villain.
You know, unknown as well, could have been a bit better. I feel like that's it. Last we've seen of Taskmaster now. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I had the problem of the film set between two other films that came out a long time ago already.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was never really going to do much. Like, the same with, like, Ray Winston. Like, he was always going to die.
Yeah, know? That's it. That's it. It's very, yeah, I know what you mean. It's a bit of a shame because we didn't really see Taskmaster do a lot, really.
Yeah. She
fought Black Widow a couple of times.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And Taskmaster's character was the same that Marvel likes to do in every film, where it's, oh, the hero just fights a version of themselves. Like in Black Panther, like in Ant-Man, like in Iron Man.
Captain America. Yeah,
exactly.
All of it. And that's not necessarily, but I think what would have been better is to bring Taskmaster back as a villain to the next Avengers or to the Thunderbolts or the Dark Avengers, wherever they're going to go with the Contessa Valentina de Fontaine is her name, I think. I think I've got that right. Is the woman who pops up at the end of this and she's trying to recruit, you know, B-tier anti-villains. So she turned up in Falcon and Winter Soldier and recruited US agent, and she's now turned up at the end of this and is trying to recruit a Black Widow. You know, I think she's going to turn up in Shang-Chi and try and recruit Abomination, maybe. You know, she's obviously setting up either the Thunderbolts or the Dark Avengers. So what would have been cool is Taskmaster in this film escapes, you don't know who it is, then they come back in something like the Thunderbolts, or the Dark Avengers, where they're taking on, you know, where Taskmaster's taken on multiple different heroes at the same time and using all the skills that they're learning, you know, replicating it there and then. Because all we saw in this is they watched a movie at the start. She copied a move that Black Widow did. She copied a move that the mum did, I think. I can't remember. And she got claws out like Black Panther. And she threw her shield.
Arrow like Hawkeye.
I didn't even remember that. No, didn't remember that. When did she shoot an arrow?
I think it's when they're doing like the chase thing and the motorbike and the cars and stuff.
Right.
I think. Yeah. It definitely happens though, I remember.
Yeah. See, like, I'd like to see like a little Spider-Man move. I don't know, some sort of, maybe she gets like a repulsor cannon and does like an Iron Man move and stuff like that, you know. But more, it was just like, I didn't see all these different superhero aspects in Taskmaster. I just saw, all right, she copied Black Widow and then she got the claws out like Black Panther did, but I didn't actually see anything with that. I don't think she actually took on a Black Panther stance or anything. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking too much into it, but I think that Taskmaster was definitely underutilized, not only in this film, but in the MCU now.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what's done with her. And the fact that, you know, she just said, you know, to Black Widow at the end, oh, is he gone? Yep. All right, we're good. Not that, oh, I still hate you for trying to blow me up as a child, you know? Yeah. But yeah, I think this is the most brutal MCU movie, and I enjoy it for that. Obviously, there are problems with it, but I still enjoyed it, and I've really enjoyed being back in the cinema to watch a Marvel movie. But seeing that trailer for The Eternals, I'm like, I'm quite excited to see this whole new aspect of the universe that we've not seen before, and I quite like that there's not a lot of action in the trailer. Because we're getting that in Shang-Chi. We had that in this. I feel like we're going to have a bit more of like a Guardians of the Galaxy type movie with the Eternals. What do you think, Ben?
I think it will be, yeah, very different to anything that we've seen as Guardians was when it came out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm quite excited for it. Just to see how different it is, you know? Just to see how different it is. Any more thoughts, Ben?
I think a better reveal of Taskmaster would have been it takes the helmet off and it's Greg Davis and he's promoting Taskmaster on Channel 4.
Oh, could you imagine? Blowing my mind here, Ben. That would have been amazing. Absolutely.
I also
amazing.
Want to see Red Guardian versus Captain America on screen.
Well, you know, there's theories that he has actually fought Captain America because of obviously the time traveling and stuff. So maybe. Could happen. Could happen like in a future movie with a flashback or something. I don't know. We'll see. We'll wait and see. Maybe he turns up in the new Captain America, the Captain America and the Winter Soldier movie. I think that's what they're calling it, aren't they? The new one. So yeah, we'll see. Anything else, Ben, before we get into our topic of the week?
No, I think that's it. Just trying to think. I thought that that random British guy was a bit random because I don't really know who he is.
Yeah, would have been cool if it was maybe, I don't know, like Coulson or something, like an actual like person we've seen before. We've never seen him before, and I doubt we'll ever see him again. So so who knows? But yeah, I did enjoy it. I think it's good, not amazing. But that's fine. That's not a problem, you know? Right, anyway, Ben. Topic of the show. Pitching the perfect Pokemon movie. A lot of P's there. So, obviously, there's been quite a few... well, there's been one live-action movie before. And there's been a lot of animated movies. Or anime movies, I should say, sorry. With Pokemon. So, we're going to try and pitch our own ones, but I just want to talk a little bit about the previous movies. So, obviously, Detective Pikachu came out a couple of years ago. I really enjoyed it when I watched it. I haven't seen it since. I kind of want to rewatch it just for, you know, to actually remember what the film's like. I just remember I really liked being in the world of Pokemon and just seeing how Pokemon are going about their day-to-day business. You know, in this, just like literally just being in the world. That's what I quite enjoyed in the movie. You know, sort of little bit of like cyberpunk sort of dabbled in there with all the neon and stuff as well. And I think it was a good idea, to do the Detective Pikachu storyline as it gives a narrative to Pikachu. You know, it's not just a guy and a Pikachu and the Pikachu's going, Pika! Pika! You know, I thought it was actually quite good to have a narrative from the Pokemon's point of view as well. And I quite enjoyed that about the film. Also, I really like Ryan Reynolds as the voice of Pikachu because it's just baffling and quite entertaining at the same time. Did you watch this, Ben? What did you think of the movie?
Yeah, I remember enjoying it. Yeah, as you say, like the world and stuff and seeing how it kind of, you know, it makes them, like, furry, so they sort of look half kind of real.
A little bit of a fuzz to them. Yeah. And, like, the Bulbasaurs looked a little bit, like, leathery and reptile-y and stuff like that. So, yeah, like, I think they've really nailed, you know, adapting them to live action. I think they did it quite well. But, again, I just really liked being in the world of the movie. I can't really remember what the actual plot of it was. I know Mewtwo was in there somewhere and he was like, oh, it's a bad Pokemon, but no, it's not a bad Pokemon. Bill Nye's the bad guy or something. I can't really remember now. That's why I want to give it a rewatch. But yeah, I did really enjoy it at the time. I remember really enjoying it. And I think they've done quite well with it. Do you think they should do a sequel in this, you know, following the story of this or just in the world? What do you reckon, Ben?
I don't know. I think they could do. It's not something that I'd want to see, like, out of all the possibilities. But
yeah. Do you think maybe they'd, like, follow Ryan Reynolds as a cop for the next one? Or do you think they'd follow the main character? I don't think they'll actually ever touch it again. But I know the Detective Pikachu games, there are quite a few of them, I think. The voice of Detective Pikachu in the games is, like, a rough and gruff guy. He's like, oh! Give me my coffee. Like, he's that sort of detective. So, I don't know what they'll do with it. I'm sure they'll do another live-action Pokemon at some point. I think it was the most successful video game adaptation of a, you know, into movies. I don't know if that's until been beaten Sonic. By yeah, but Sonic came out after it, I think, didn't it? Because Sonic came out sort of early 2020, didn't it? Yeah, I really enjoyed it. But also, there's animated movies or anime movies. There have been 23 movies total. That is crazy. 23 Pokemon movies, anime. But obviously, they are, you know, they sort of do it at the end of each season. Anime series usually do, like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Sound like a noob. Dragon Ball Z, they used to do one after every series. They would do a series and then do a movie that doesn't relate to the series whatsoever. And I think Pokemon do the same sort of thing. I remember, so I've rewatched the Pokemon first series about 8 years ago now. And at the end of the series, there's sort of, you know, about seven episodes with little snippets at the end of each episode about them talking about an evil Pokemon, about them showing a lab and stuff like that. And then in the movie, I think it is when is, you know, that turns out to be Mewtwo. So, you know, they do set it up throughout the series and then pay it off in the movie. But I don't think I've ever actually watched a Pokemon movie. Probably when I was younger, like maybe split up into like two or three TV episodes. But yeah, I can't really remember. What about you, Ben?
Yeah, Pokemon was like before I was sort of growing up. I kind of had like a little bit of Yu-Gi-Oh! That I watched.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that,
yeah,
nothing really.
Yeah. It's time to Yeah. Yu-Gi-Oh! Mm-hmm. It's good. Like it. That's all I've really got to talk about the topic, Ben. Do anything you want to add before we get into the pitches?
I will say there's one last thing I forgot to talk about on Disney Plus that's been released, first two episodes, Monsters at Work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I watched the first episode last night. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Quite
enjoyed
it.
Yeah, I like it.
I really like the animation style because it sort of looks like the original film. You know, it's quite simple backgrounds and stuff like that. I feel like it looks a little jaggedy, though. Like it's maybe like running like 20 frames a second rather than 24. What do you think? Is that just me?
Yeah, I think that's just you.
Yeah, maybe it's just me. I don't know. But yeah, I enjoyed that.
Yeah. I really like the time that they've chose to like set it, like basically right after the first movie.
I think that's the best way that you know of doing it. And obviously, I quite enjoy how much Mike and Sully are in the first episode. Don't know how much we're going to see of them throughout the series, but I quite like that they're, you know, fairly involved, you know, and you get to see Roz and you get to see the guys, the janitors or whatever they're called. Yeah, it's just a good throwback to the first movie, I would say. Really enjoyed the first episode anyway, of what I saw of it anyway. So, but yeah, Ben, let's get into the pitches. So I've got three plots. They're quite hefty. I didn't mean for them to be this bleak. What about you, Ben?
I've got one because I think it is the perfect Pokemon film.
Oh, okay. All right. Right, shall I go first then?
Yep.
Okay. Right, plot one. Now, in the Pokemon games, there's always a big crime syndicate storyline going on behind the scenes, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've played any games, Ben, have you?
No.
So I've played Platinum and Fire Red. Yeah, and there's always, like, you can always, like, talk to a detective and he's like, keep an eye out for these guys are up to no good, blah, 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 blah. So, like, Team Rocket is one of those syndicates that shows up in the series. I think they're called a different thing in the games, but it's the same thing, essentially. So I think it would be cool to have, like, a crime drama movie set in the Pokemon universe. It'd be a little bit like one of my favourite films I've ever watched, The Departed. Okay, you seen Departed, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
So we'd follow like a cop infiltrating the crime syndicate undercover. That could be like, you know, half, you know, that's like one point of view. And then we'll also follow a member of the crime syndicate infiltrating the Pokemon League. The league is obviously like one of the big things in the games. You've got like the four members of the league that you need to fight at the end of the game. I don't know. I've only played the games like a handful of times. So he's like working his way up through the ranks in the crime syndicate, trying to find out more and more information. We could follow the film of these two members without the actual audience knowing who, you know, what, you know, what their motives are. You just sort of follow this guy's like new to the league, this guy's new to the crime syndicate, and you're just following them too. And then you can maybe find out about an hour in the twist of, you know, they're actually trying to infiltrate these different syndicates and stuff. Syndicate, league. You know what I'm on about. You know what I'm on about. It's all good. It's all good. So the film, I think, could even follow the infamous duo Jesse James, you know. I think what we could do is we could have Jesse is the crime member that's trying to infiltrate the league, and then James is the crime partner of our cop infiltrating the crime syndicate. So not like, you know, James is still a bad guy, Jesse is still a bad guy, but Jesse's you know, infiltrating the league, and this new character that we've not heard before is infiltrating the crime syndicate, and is partnering up with James. Now, I thought, well, who could this be, Ben? Who could be infiltrating the crime syndicate? I think it could be Misty, who's infiltrating the crime syndicate. So it's like a female-focused film, right? We focus on these two females, both redheads. One's infiltrating the league, one's infiltrating the crime syndicate. And we could follow him throughout the movie. You could even just play it off as, you know, Jesse is Misty and Misty is Jesse, until you find out later on, you know, they take their wigs off or whatever and they're actually the other way around or something like that. I don't know. And then at the end of the movie, there would be like a tournament that's taking place, and the crime syndicate will turn up and attempt to steal the Pokemon. But the undercover cop, Misty, calls for backup, and Jesse reveals herself and tries to run away with Pokemon, and it all ends hunky-dory. That's my first plot. What do you reckon, Ben?
Yes. Is it how heavy on the old Pokemon will it be?
Yeah, like, you know, it's the same sort of thing as Detective Pikachu, where it's just telling that story in that universe, but you just see the Pokemon throughout the film. You know, like, maybe with the crime syndicate, they, you know, what they do is they try to steal the Pokemon, right? And so you can see lots of different Pokemon, you know, they're tempted to steal them off trainers and stuff, and you can see like the battles and stuff going on, and Team Rocket blasts off again, something like that. And you can see, you know, from the league point of view, some of the battles and stuff that they're doing in the big stadiums and stuff. You know, there's definitely points where you could actually have Pokemon battles and stuff that I think would be quite cool. Yeah, I didn't really think about that though, to be honest. What do you reckon, Ben?
Yeah, it's got that twist, that reveal that we love so much.
We love a good twist. My favourite ice cream is the Twister, you know. But yeah, I think that'd be quite an obvious plot to go with, quite an like an easy sort of plot to do. Yeah. Ben,
have you? What?
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, have you got like separate cast for the separate plot? So you're going to do that all at the end?
I can do that now. I can do that now. I can do the Jesse, James, and Misty. So for Jesse, I've put Anna Kendrick, because I quite like Anna Kendrick. I think she'd be quite good. You know, she does quite like a innocent face, as it were. And she could turn around and be quite, you know, mischievous and maniacal at the end. I've also put maybe as Jessica Chastain. Just went for redheads, really.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Bryce Dallas Howard. Who's the other ones? Isla Emma Fisher. Stone. Amy Adams. Emma Stone. Oh, yeah, I suppose she is, yeah. There you go. For James, I was quite proud of this one. So I got three for James. I put Josh Gad. Obviously, he's a little bit overweight, but, you know, we can slim him down. I put Ben Whishaw. He's Q in the new 007 movies. He's also the voice of Paddington. Do you know who he is, Ben?
Yeah, when you said Q, I thought you were talking about Impractical Jokers. I was like, what?
No, not quite, not quite. But also, I think this would be perfect, is Robert Sheehan from Umbrella Academy and Misfits. What'd you think of that one, Ben? I think that's perfect, don't you think?
Yeah.
The campy, eccentric, you know, sort of actor. For Misty, I've put Sophie Turner. Then I couldn't think of anyone else because all the redheads were gone. Karen Gillan, maybe. There you go. That'll do. God, yeah, that's my fault for choosing two redheads. I don't know. Yeah, I think that would be the main cast anyway. So yeah. What about you, Ben? Do you want to give us your plot, or do you want me to give my other one? Two.
Don't mind.
It's up to you.
All right, I'll do mine.
Go on.
Mine's similar in a way that it focuses on Team Rocket.
Oh.
But mine is a family comedy road movie.
Oh, yeah.
Where we follow Jesse and James and Meowth.
Meowth, that's right.
Meowth. As they're attempting to track down Ash Ketchum.
Oh, yeah.
Now they've been sent on this mission by Giovanni, the leader of the
is that his name
of the world? Yeah,
is it? Oh, I never knew that.
Like black slick back hair.
Okay.
So they've been sent on it, and it's a road movie, so that we just travel with the three characters. There's obviously in like the Pokemon universe. Giovanni is Ash's dad, apparently.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that would be like a revelation at the end of the film that's happened. But as I say, it's like a comedy movie, road movie. So things like obviously famous road movies. You've got like Easy Rider, Joyride, Jewel, Mad Max, Y Tu Mama Tambien.
Cars.
Things like that. Cars. Well, you know, you just travel along and you do stuff on the way.
Yeah, that's it.
You could probably call Falling Down a road movie. Just
I would say so.
He walks everywhere.
You visit in different locations. You know, yeah.
So you know, you meet like different Pokemon and everything. In this universe, the Pokemon can only say what they say in the TV series. So Pikachu can only say Pikachu.
Yeah, of course.
He's not Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Jigglypuff can only say Jigglypuff. But obviously, in the cartoon and everything, Meowth can speak English.
He can.
So that's a nice dynamic there. And they are like, you know, comic relief anyway, aren't they, really?
Yeah.
But yeah, so you follow them as they're trying to track down Ash, and then we see him at the end. Like, we don't see him during any of the film until the very end. And then, you know, Giovanni comes out. He's like, "Yeah, I am your father." You know.
is that confirmed then? Because without giving away my second plot, I did do a little bit of research on Ash's dad, and it just said that, like, he's not dead, but you don't know what happened to him or something like that. It never said.
Well,
it just never said anything about that. But this was on.
That's what Google said.
So. Yeah, this was on Pokemon Wiki. So I don't know. But yeah, no, I like that. I quite like a little good road movie, a bit like Ice Age, but with Team Rocket. I think it'll work quite well, focusing on Jesse and James and maybe like cutting back to Ash like a couple of times throughout the movie just to see what he's up to. Not a lot, but...
I would cut back to Giovanni, rather. I'd keep it like the villains of the whole film, like all the time, you know?
And yeah,
then just see Ash at the end.
Yeah, fair enough.
More of like a cameo, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, cast I've got as Giovanni, as the team leader with the slick back hair. I've got either Michael Fassbender,
right,
or David Tennant doing a Jessica Jones sort of performance.
Like it, you know? Jessica.
Yeah. For James, I've got Miles Teller.
Yeah.
But he's a bit older than I wanted, to be honest. Yeah. So I've also got Ty Sheridan. He's Cyclops.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, because he's done like sort of, you know, comedy sort of things. Both of them have.
Yeah.
Yeah. For Jesse, I also put Anna Kendrick, but again, a bit older
than I'd want. Oh, there you go.
Bit older than I'd want, so I've also put Zendaya.
Oh, again, yeah, Zendaya would be good.
Comedy stuff before.
Yeah.
Meowth, to voice Meowth. I've got either Paul Giamatti.
Oh, yes. I love it.
Also got, if you want to go even more comedy sort of way, I've got Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah, perfect, perfect.
Or to give maybe possibly a darker performance, I don't know, or more, you know, nuanced, I've also got Hank Azaria.
Hank Azaria?
He's in
Simpsons.
Does like 100 voices in The Simpsons. He's, yeah. He's
he's Phoebe's boyfriend, isn't he, right? From Friends?
Yeah.
No, that's a good casting. I like that.
Yeah. And then for Ash, I've put Finn Wolfhard because he's in everything as a, and plays all the kids and everything.
Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, you can't go wrong with that, can you? He is in everything, but he's a good actor, so fair play. Yeah.
For director, because it's a road movie and because it's a fantasy fiction-y film, I've put Alfonso Cuarón because he's the master of the road movie, because he's done Y Tu Mamá También, which is one of the best road movies of all time, and also Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. So he's like, you know, merge them together and you've got that. For writer, I've got a similar sort of thing, someone who does sci-fi films but someone who's also written road movies before, because this guy wrote Joyride, which is a homage to Duel, which is one of the original road movies, and that is J.J. Abrams.
Oh. Isn't Duel Steven Spielberg? Is that?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I thought so. Yeah, good cast there, good actors, and good directors, obviously, Ben. Yeah, nice one. I think that would be perfect. Perfect Pokemon movie in live action. What sort of would you do for Pokemon fights and battles?
Again, it's just, you know, it's because they're trying to find Ash, they're just going all over the place. So they could, you know, they get somewhere, maybe it's like an old bar and there's some Pokemon that are pissed up in there. You know? And then you go somewhere else and you meet some nice ones or whatever. I
think it'd be quite good to visit all the different regions in the Pokemon universe as well. That's quite cool because obviously each, you know, sort of, when a new game comes out, it's usually in a different region. So you could, you know, sort of fly here, do a little bit there, boat over to here, do a little bit there, you know, that sort of thing. That could be quite cool. I think it'll work quite well. But yeah, I like it. Like it a lot. Right. I'll give my next plot because it's quite a big one. So I didn't know about this. Ash's dad is Giovanni. Well, It could still work. So, in the Pokemon universe, there's a lack of adult males, right? And there's a theory that's been going on for a while about this. So, I'm not sure if it is a theory or if it is confirmed. But there's talks of a war that happened, which is why there's a lack of adult men. So maybe we could explore that. So I think it would be quite cool in this war that we're exploring that may or may not have happened. I can't remember if it's confirmed or not, that we follow Ash Ketchum's dad in the war. Now, like I said, I didn't know about the Giovanni thing or anything. So, but it could still turn out, you know, he could come from the war and then turn out into, you know, the guy at the end or something like that. So he's always missing in the series, and the theory is that he died in this war. That I thought, anyway, this is from what research I've done. So we follow him in this war movie, but it doesn't include Pokemon for the first bit. Right? They're just fighting. Pokemon exist in this universe, but they're not in the war. Right? They're just this is what is happening. Pokemon are out in the wild, right? These are happening on the beaches of their version of France. And Pokemon are just in the trees in the, you know, in the forest somewhere, I don't know. But then one day, Ash's dad gets sent on a mission. And then the mission's going on, and there's like fighting, and they're pinned down, and they escape. They run out the way into like a little chateau, because this is Pokemon's version of France. So into a little chateau, and he hears a noise. You know, they've escaped the enemy, so they're like, "What's this noise?" So he gets ready, gets prepared, gets his gun out, and then he lifts up a bit of rubble, points his gun. It's a Raichu, Ben. It's just a Pokemon. It's a Raichu. We'll come back to the Raichu. Okay, so then he teams up with a Raichu to help him escape the enemies, right? So he's like, "Are you okay, Raichu? Here's a bit of food. I'm your friend. We've got to get out of here. We've escaped the enemies, but they're still on to us, so we need to get out of here." So he teams up with the Raichu. The Raichu electrocutes them all. All their equipment fails because he's electrocuted them all, and then they run away, okay? So he gets back to base, and he tells his captains, or generals, or whatever, about how the Pokemon helped him, and how they could use them to turn the tide of war. So then the general's like, "Well, we're losing, so what's the worst that can happen? We lose, because we're losing anyway. It's not going well. Do whatever you want, Ash Ketchum's dad." We'll call him Dad Ketchum. "Do whatever you want, Dad Ketchum." So Dad Ketchum then teams up, like, gathers a small team of like researchers and a couple other people. And then he goes out into the wild. He's finding all these different Pokemon. You know, it's a bit of a montage. He's training them how they can be used in battle scenarios. You know, all their different powers, what they can do. You know, learning about them. They don't really, because up until now, Pokemon have just been out in the wild, but they've never really teamed up with them before. So, you know, they're teaming up. They're finding out what's going on. So they go off and win the battle that the whole film has been leading up to. We show Pokemon fighting Nazis, because why not? Okay, so the Pokemon fought the Nazi, and not a single Pokemon dies. It's a miracle. This is a kid's film. No Pokemon dies. All the Pokemon live. And they've done it. They've won the war. Yes. So they decide, okay, we've got to let them go. We let the Pokemon go. You know, they've helped us out, let them back out into the wild. If they want to stay around, they can stay around. We can help them out. We can feed them. We can pet them, whatever. So Ash's dad, Dad Ketchum, he takes the Raichu off into the forest. And he's saying goodbye, and he's saying thanks for your help. And the Raichu's like, "Raichu. Raichu, Raichu." Because, you know, that's all they can say. And then all of a sudden, Dad Ketchum is shot in the back. What? What happened? So the Raichu then tries to fight off this guy who shot him. But he's kicked off somewhere, maybe off a cliff or something, and then he lands safely, and then it fades to black. And then we see that the guy who shot him in the back of Dad Ketchum is one of his own teammates from the battalion. And it turns out that this guy liked the Pokemon so much, he wanted to capture them and enslave them and use them for his own reasons, for some reason. And then he sets up his own team to steal the Pokemon with a couple of other guys. And they're like, "What can we name us?" And then they look off in the distance and they see a rocket flying up into the sky. That's right. It's the origins of Team Rocket, baby. And then at the end of the film, so they've shot Ash Ketchum, Dad Ketchum, in the back. He's dead. Or we don't know. You know, he's left for dead, basically. And then at the end of the movie, right at the end of the film, we see Raichu. He returns to his family and decides it's not safe. And he picks up his baby son, Pikachu. And he sees a professor off in the distance that's helping Pokemon in the wild. He's feeding them, you know, he's offering them a place to live, to be safe. And he decides that his son Pikachu is no longer safe in the wild because of all these bad guys that are now stealing Pokemon and stuff. So he gives it, you know, he urges Pikachu to go to this professor. And that guy is none other than Professor Oak. That's right, it's Ash Ketchum's Pikachu. We've circled back around. There you go, Ben. What do you think?
You're going to call it Saving Private Raichu?
Well, yeah, why not? give him a little vest as well, a little like army jacket.
yeah, it all came back at the end. There was a bit in there about Nazis that got a bit, what's going on?
I don't know if it's Pokemon or if it's I think it's Dragon Ball Z, or the original Dragon Ball, that we actually see like a Hitler-like. I can't remember what it is now. But yeah, there you go. So, there. That's it. That's my second pitch. Do you want to hear my cast for that pitch?
Yeah.
So, I put Ash's Dad Ketchum. I didn't know about the Giovanni guy, so this is just off of Ash Ketchum. Just tried to sort of... try to, you know, see an older version of Ash. So I've put my favourite, my boy, JGL. And I think he would work as Giovanni because he's got the slick black hair, isn't he?
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. There you go. So I've put JGL, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, to any new listeners. He's my boy. I always go to him. I've put Tom Holland, but he might be a bit too young. I don't know, because this is a guy fighting in a war. I say he's too young. He's like 25. I don't, you know, he's a fully grown male. But I've also put, now I think this would be my main guy, is Jamie Dornan. I know he's a little bit on the older side, but he's got good hair. He's got quite bushy hair. And obviously Ash has got the big hair, hasn't he? So, I mean, you can do anything with hair, but that's who I would go. Now, for Professor Oak that we see at the end, of the film, I've put either Peter Capaldi, which is quite a fan casting. I've put maybe Steve Martin. I think he quite looks, you know, he's older but happy, smiley guy. But I think if we're going for like a younger version of Professor Oak, I think maybe Neil Patrick Harris might be quite a good casting. What do you think?
Yeah.
There you go. That'll do it. I've got a short plot for my third one. Do you want to hear it, Ben? Or do you want anything to add to my second one?
No.
No? Mm. All right, cool. So my third plot's quite a short one. I think it could be quite a bit of like a biopic of the composer of the Pokemon theme song. Now, we all know how iconic the Pokemon theme song is. So we follow Jason Page, the guy who created and sung the theme song to Pokemon. We follow him struggling in his career. This is probably not a very good Pokemon movie, but it's just related to Pokemon. We follow him struggling in his career. He's trying to get a break. You know, he's down in the dumps. He's trying to get a break. He's trying to crack through and turn his career around. I don't know anything about Jason Page. He probably had a really good career leading up to the Pokemon theme song anyway, but who knows? I'm sure he's made loads of money off of it. And then his agent calls him and he tells him about the theme for a new anime coming out. And he's like, what is that anime? What's all this anime about? I have no idea about it. And then we can follow him as he's struggling to come up with the perfect theme song. He's researching what this Pokemon is, what he's got nothing to do about. We can see him like researching and relating it back to his own life of, you know, you're my best friend. See his best friend. In a world we must defend. Well, I mean, was he, you know, was he defending something at some point? So yeah, we just follow Jason Page as he comes up with this music. What do you think of that, Ben?
What do you want to do with your life?
I want to be the very best.
Yeah.
There you go.
I can see it already.
That's it. But that's just a little extra one to put in there. I've got a couple of directors, not necessarily for that last one, but I've put Phil Lord and Chris Miller, as you were talking about earlier, Ben, the guys behind Into the Spider-Verse, The Mitchells vs. The Machines, Lego Movie. They know how to do a good kids movie, good action, slapstick comedy. You know, they're quite good at all that. I've put Rob Letterman. He directed Detective Pikachu. You know, getting back in, I think Detective Pikachu was quite good. But for my crime drama, I put Martin Scorsese because, you know, you don't get any better than Scorsese. What do you reckon, Ben?
Yeah.
I put Bryan Singer as the biopic director as well because he directed Bohemian Rhapsody. So that's that. There you go. Anything you want to add to me pitches, Ben?
No. I like the going down the route of like a biopic.
Well, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a biopic of him. It could be a biopic of the guy creating Pokemon. I'm guessing it started out as a manga. No, I think it went straight to a video game, I think. Yeah. Well, yeah, because of the mechanic of catching the Pokemon and stuff, and maybe we'll see like the guy who's got a design, you know, come up with these designs for Pokemon and the uniqueness of them, because they all are unique, you know. I mean, the most recent ones aren't as much. They're like, we get a horse and we put some fire on him. Well, I think that was one of the first ones, actually. The most recent ones have been a bit, the rabbit can do sparks and this is just a lamb, and the lamb, he's got shadow powers. What's a shadow power? Oh, you know, play the game.
Yeah.
That's Pokemon nowadays, I think, anyway. So well, anyway, anything to add, Ben, or should we wrap this up?
No.
No. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Please be sure to leave us a rating wherever you listen to us. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, any other ones as well, I think. I'm not sure. Let me know. If you'd like to send us a question or a recommendation for a topic, send us an email to playwatchpitchcast@gmail.com. If you want to see updates about our podcast on social media, you find us on Facebook, facebook.com/playmovieswatchgames, or you can find us on Twitter at playwatchpitch. Ben, where can people find you?
Ben Films Stuff on Instagram.
Ben Films Stuff on Instagram. Yeah, there you go. I think that'll do it. Let's give them a topic for our next week.
Give them a topic for our next week.
Oh, hint for our topic. I'm reading it too quickly. One does simply not read the script quickly. There you go. That's your hint. Anything to add, Ben?
Mr. Frodo.
See you then. Ooh.